Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Strategies of Success, and congratulations. You've been able to grow your business. You are ready for that next level. Or perhaps you've walked into a situation where you are now managing people. You get a second location for your business. Whatever, when those situations arise, you come up with that next challenge from your business perspective. We know that you're good at what you do. You provide great service. You're out there, you're dealing with your clients, you're dealing with their issues. The key word there is you are. You are. But there comes a point in time, this is a good thing, that you need to bring on employees where you're working with different people. Now you have something that's a little bit different than what you were in control of before. So you're always in control of your own emotions and how you deal with the situation. And we're going to assume you deal with situations in a very positive manner. Now your employees are dealing with those situations. How do they approach things? Hopefully the same way you do. In reality, might be a little bit different. And in many cases, it actually is. So how do you find that right employee? How do you know who to hire? How do you deal with the employees on an ongoing basis? And how do you give them that same sense of your business that you have? Well, the first thing that I would do is I'd make a phone call. And I did. I called our guest today. Our guest today is from, she is the president of Workforce Development. She is Randy Buffy. Randy, I love the fact that you're going to be joining us today because, you know, the business owners, they continue to move forward, they continue to grow, and then they bring on employees. They work with different people. And instilling that same sense of ownership, it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge as you're working with different people. But you have been working with business owners and managers to deal with just such an issue. And I think it's fantastic that you take on that area. Randy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Brian. I'm happy to be here. You know, I love talking about customer service.
Yeah, and, you know, we as business owners, you know, we go out and let's say most of us have that type A personality. It's our business. We take full ownership in actually everything that we do. But at some point, you know, where we do expand, you know, we do need to delegate different things out. Even taking on a partner is a bit of a challenge because you got to find that right personality. The personality traits is something that's so important with everybody that touches your clients. And this is that topic that you bring up with the business owners as you go along and your area of expertise. Why customer service? How did that become so important to you?
Well, selfish reasons, actually. I'm a customer, and I wasn't liking the kind of experiences that I was having as a customer when I was dealing with certain businesses. And so I thought that if I wasn't happy, there was a good chance that other customers weren't happy either. So I figured if I could go into organizations and help them raise the bar on the level of experience that they were providing to their customers, I would benefit as well as other customers. So that's really where my focus came from. And, you know, you mentioned something before, Brian, about, you know, personality. And so a lot of times when we are ready to hire somebody, we feel like it's very important to hire somebody who has experience in a job or experience in an industry. And, you know, I have to say that that's not always the right way to go because I say you want to hire for attitude and train for skill, because it's a lot easier to teach you what I know about an industry or how to operate a cash register or a computer system than it is to teach you how to be nice or teach you how to care.
And that's an incredibly important trait. And, you know, and I was reading through on a couple of things, and also my own experience too, is that you wind up in situations where you walk into any business and you have a question. And when you're speaking to that employee and you're met with a frown and it's just a question, all of a sudden it takes this question you have into a negative area, whereas the exact opposite could happen too. If you met with at least a neutral person, let alone a smile, why? Wouldn't that be nice? So it's really important that you do hire those nice people and they can get the answer. Nobody's expecting everybody to have it. We do want to be met with a smile on different occasions.
Sure. And you know, that person with the smile, even though they may not have the answer, they know where to get it, and they will, and they'll take ownership of you and your situation. And in a situation as that, one thing that you might want to say to a customer or a prospective customer is, you know, that's a really good question. Let me get the answer, and I will either call you back, or can you hold for just a moment while I check on that for you? So you don't have to know all of the answers. However, you have to take responsibility of getting the answer for the customer. And if you can do that with a smile, well, you're aces in my book.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can see that smile through the phone. So this works very much the same for the telephone operators that are out there and the customer service representatives that are located, who knows, around the world. But that smile, certainly every one of these situations. Yeah. And
Sure,
you're right.
and not only, I'm sorry, Brian,
Go ahead.
it's not only the smile that comes through, it's really your mindset. And so if you were in the middle of doing something right before the phone rang, there's a good chance that you're not going to be giving your full undivided attention to the person on the other end of the phone, and it's going to sound something like, ABC Pest Control, can I help you? As opposed to if that phone rang and I knew it was showtime, I would say, good afternoon, ABC Pest Control. This is Randy. How can I help you? And so there's such a difference in the way we present ourselves on the phone when we don't sound like we're being interrupted and we sound as if we've just been waiting for that person to call us.
But how do you actually find that? Let's go to the hiring practice, side of things. Ready to speak to recruiters, it's the LinkedIn page, the Facebook page, all the rest of these other things, and the resume, which is, I guess, a little bit more on the content side of things. But can you actually decide who's a nice person, who's a friendly person during an interview when everybody shows up, with their game face on and that smile?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm actually helping a client right now search for a customer service candidate. And I place the ad, and I've been screening resumes as they come in. And you know, I find that when I play phone tag with a candidate, or I'm calling them and they're not expecting a phone call from me, where they don't have their game face on, if you will. You could tell a lot about a person. And one person in particular that I did call, when she answered the phone, she sounded like, I don't know, she just didn't want to be bothered and she was mad. And that put a bad taste in my mouth and I kind of, you know, put her at the back of the pile. So, yes, when we're on an interview, we should be on our best behavior. Because we are trying to woo the prospective employer and make a great first impression. And if you notice things that don't sit well with you on that interview, I promise you it's not going to get better once you hire them. So you really have to go with your gut. And if somebody is not making eye contact, if somebody is not able to give you examples of situations that they've had, that's a red flag.
Right. And they don't necessarily have to be, all the best successes. It's probably, I'm wondering, from your standpoint, hiring somebody that has got a good attitude, how they dealt with a negative situation would probably mean a lot more to you from the customer service side of things rather than, what was your greatest success.
Exactly, because you know it's when it's easy, it's easy. When it's hard, that's where somebody's true colors comes out. And so during an interview process, I recommend that you ask situational type questions. Did you know, tell me about a time when something like this happened. You know, how did you handle it? How did you feel? And try and get them emotionally connected to how they felt when they were a customer and they weren't treated well. Because I think that when we get our employees emotionally connected to that, it would be easier for them to walk in their customer's shoes when they're dealing with them. But what happens, Brian, is we come into work in the morning and we take off our Brian hat and we put on our ABC company hat, and we lose that human-to-human connection, which is what we as customers are really craving.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of influences that hit, you know, once you, quote-unquote, walk into the office. Because it's not just you anymore, especially if you're in an office with, let's say, you know, 20 people, 30 people, or even more. Because there are other people that influence your day, and it might not be customers. It's, you know, the other coworkers too, that maybe having a good influence on you, or perhaps negative influence. You know, that water cooler conversation may not be the best thing in the world. So just having one bad employee or someone with a negative attitude, it does affect other people also, right?
It absolutely does, Brian. You know, those bad employees that you're talking about, I have a name for them. And actually, I have two names for them. So I call them renters. And so they're a renter because they're not engaged, they're not committed, and they don't really care whether a customer becomes a customer, stays a customer, because at the end of the day, they're still getting their same, you know, hourly rate. I've actually named that type of employee Rant. And Rant doesn't just have to be a frontline employee. Rant could be a supervisor, and sometimes Rant is actually the owner of the business. Here's a perfect example. I was at a client last week, and when I was talking to them about Rant and what turns them into Rant, one of them said when the boss comes in the morning, they don't say hello to any of the employees. They just like huff and puff and walk right back into their office. And so if you were that employee, would that be making you feel all warm and fuzzy that you couldn't even get a hello or a good morning or a how are you from your boss? And so that puts a negative taste in that employee's mouth. And so how could we expect that employee to be all perky and happy and go above and beyond when they're not being treated as if they matter? So For business owners, for leaders, for supervisors, I really recommend that they take a look in the mirror and see what they are doing and what they are saying, because their employees are watching and listening to everything they do and say, and they're taking their cue from you.
And that's a big thing, because if that manager is walking through the office ignoring the other employees that are there, that makes them a little bit more, or a lot more, unapproachable. So should somebody get a phone call from somebody who's got some sort of an issue, they're not going to want to bring it up the chain, you know, to the manager, or they're not going to be looking forward, at least, you know, to doing that. And that's not going to be it. And from a speaker's standpoint, I guarantee that inflection is going to go right to the person on the phone, right to that customer, right off the bat, because the employee's going to be thinking, oh, no. I gotta go talk to manager Bob. This is not good. So it sets
right.
the tone in a big way.
Yeah, except you know what you're describing, Brian, is not only are they gonna not want to, you know, pass it up to that supervisor who, you know, wouldn't give them the time of day. Sometimes they're gonna give up on that irate customer and be like, you know, I don't want to deal with this, and actually say, you know what, why don't you just talk to my supervisor? Hold on. And so either way, the customer is on the short end of the stick. So it's unfortunate that customers suffer as a result of any rant-like employees in an organization, no matter where they are on the corporate ladder, so to speak.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, the last thing that, well, one of those things from a selfish standpoint, if I have to explain a problem time and time again to different people every time I get transferred over, I tend to get a little bit more emotional about the problem each and every time. It's like, because it shows they don't care. If you really do care, you at least tell my story for the next, at least the basis of it, and then, you know, go through the details. But it, all these things are signs. You know, from the customer, they're all signs that a company doesn't care as much as they should. And we know from growing a business, from providing service, from talking to people, first thing everybody wants to know is, do you care? And these employees, a bad employee, a rant employee or manager, is going to set the wrong tone the whole way through.
Right. And, you know, sometimes the rant employee, I mean, listen, it's never okay to be a rant employee. Let's get that out in the open. But some of the things that cause rant employees are other rant employees or bosses or leaders that don't treat employees well, who aren't good role models. And so, as a leader, you are the role model. You have to watch what you're saying and doing. You also have to give your employees the tools that they need in order to do their job and service the customers. Oftentimes, that includes training. You can't just hire somebody and expect that they know what good customer service is and how you want your customers to be treated. The other thing that we have to do, Brian, is we have to empower our employees to think and act like an owner of the business. Now, that doesn't mean they have to be the owner. Their name doesn't have to go outside the building. They don't have to get shares of stock in the company. However, we have to let them know that we trust them and give them the wherewithal to make decisions up to some degree that are in the best interest of the customer and the best interest of the company. So that doesn't mean giving things away for free, because an owner is not really going to want to do that because they got into business because they wanted to generate revenue. But it means doing what the right thing is in a situation. You know, we're talking about consumers and we're talking about B2C companies, and B2B companies are in the same situation. If you're dealing with another business as a business, it's important to have that ownership mindset to make that human-to-human connection with the person that you're dealing with at another company. And so we need to remember that we don't treat people differently depending if we're selling to a business as opposed to selling to a consumer, because either way, we are a business, but we're a human being, and we're selling to another business, which is a human being. So I'd like to say get rid of the B2C, get rid of the B2B, and let's all practice an H-to-H model, which is human to human.
That would be nice, and people care, and that would be a great thing if you always did. And you know, statistics also show too, those companies that are excelling at customer service are seeing a faster rate of growth beyond their industry, and it makes, gosh, it makes such a huge difference. Especially there's so many businesses out there that have essentially the same product and essentially the same pricing model. So the only thing that really makes that difference is that human interaction, the treating everybody like human beings, like we how we want to be treated also. It's an important thing.
What a concept. You know, the other benefit, if you will, is customers are willing to pay more for a good experience. And, you know, anybody that's listening is shaking their head because it is true. And so when we are in such a commoditized marketplace where really just about every business, whether you're selling a product or a service, I can get it somewhere else at probably a similar price point, often the only thing that differentiates you from your competitors is the experience that you provide. And so if we tie it back together, if you're dealing with the owner of a business, chances are he's going to or she's going to make sure that she provides you a great experience, because at the end of the day, she knows that that's the only thing that's going to make her stand out from her competition. So if we can get our employees to be more engaged, more committed, and think and act like owners of the business, imagine what that's going to do to every business's business drivers. I call them the four R's, and they are revenue, retention, reputation, and referrals. And so if you want to grow your business, make an investment in the customer experience that you and your employees are providing to your customers and your prospects, and I promise you that those four business drivers will increase.
Yeah. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody this morning about a hair salon. And all those four R's, they all fit right into that. So the hair salon, obviously, they do a lot with referrals, but they also want to sell more of the products that they use when somebody's getting their hairstyles cut, you know, colored, whatever the case may be, you know, because, you know, that's part of the revenue model, you know, within the place. But the more that the hairstylists are acting like owners, not renters, like, you know, I get paid whatever it is per haircut, versus I'm going to do the best I possibly can with styling your hair and talk about the products that are being used and talk about the type of hair they have, all that customer service side of things, I'm wondering, and I got to imagine the answer to this is yes, but, you know, now that that hairstylist is acting more and more like an owner, that's going to translate into additional sales because the customer is going to feel like they really are cared about and want to support the company and want to support everything that's going on.
Sure. Instead of it just being, you know, haircut number four of the day, you know, upselling, you know, is really in every business. I mean, think about the classic restaurant, right? I come to a restaurant to, you know, order a meal. And yes, of course, the service is going to, you know, dictate my tip. But you know what else dictates my tip? The size of the bill. And so if the waiter or waitress does a good job of talking about some specials, or makes a recommendation to me about, you know, how good the salmon is, and then, you know, after dinner, instead of just giving us the check, but says, oh, you know, we just have some, you know, homemade blueberry pie that was just made, all of that is going to have a direct impact on the willingness of the patron to spend more, to stay there longer, and all of that is going to be considered when I am leaving my tip. So, you know, we're all self-employed, Brian, no matter what business you're in. And so sometimes you're going to get compensated monetarily for thinking and acting like an owner of the business. Other times it's going to help secure your position with the organization because it's going to allow the company to stay in business. Because we're taking good care of the customers, because we're positively impacting the revenue that the business is generating. So there's so many reasons for an employee to think and act like an owner of the business, and yet it doesn't happen often.
Some of those statistics, it's amazing. You know, this goes back to 2003, but there was such a small percentage of companies that actually paid attention to customer service. And maybe the difference is the fact that, you know, we have our own businesses, you know, that we look at it in a totally different light, and we just become much more aware of when it's lacking at different places because I would never do that. And, you know, and I know we don't. You know, so we look at things, you know, much differently. But it makes no sense in the world for any employee not to, from the job security standpoint, which is one, but also, you know, moving up within a company. You know, we're all looking, I don't care what company it is, you know, all looking for those employees that stand out, that get it, and really understand that the big thing that will make your company stand out amongst other people is the customer service. Do we care about our customers? You know, having those owners, whether they're titled or not, is incredibly important to a company, absolutely incredibly important to a company. So, you know, you had mentioned something in the past, you know, that as a business owner, perhaps we should look in the mirror. I love that statement, because every once in a while we should look in the mirror. We should review business plans. We should do a whole lot of things. How challenging is it sometimes to get that business owner, manager, whatever it is, to really take a look in the mirror and understand that they are sometimes rants?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a good thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so it is an investment of time. But I promise you the dividends will pay you back. You know, you ask, do we care about our customers? I guess the bigger question is, do we care about our employees? Because how we treat our employees is going to have a direct impact on how our employees treat our customers. So, you know, one of my clients, his mantra, if you will, is, you know, employees for life, customers for life. And so if we thought about our employees as assets to the business and treated them as such, they will be loyal to us and the company. They will be committed. They will be engaged. And they will willingly go above and beyond to ensure that that customer is delighted because they understand the four business drivers and they understand that their employment is directly impacted by how well they perform. And so one point that I do want to make is that, you know, you talked about being aware. I talk about being present and being in the moment. And how many times during a day are we not? And it is during those times, Brian, when we're not engaged, when we're not listening, that we miss the opportunity to connect with a customer. We miss the opportunity to, you know, to be a hero to that customer. And so when the phone rings, when you have a customer or a prospect in front of you, it's showtime. And we need to act as if we are giving our Academy Award performance because we are being judged and voted on by the people that we are taking care of. And if we don't perform today, there will be no award tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's important that we realize what we are doing and that message we're sending. You know, we need to share the right words, but we also need to follow it up with the right action. You mentioned showtime. Let me use that as the word, as a keyword here to segue, because we have about 5 minutes left. You do an awful lot of things out in the public world, besides doing, you know, various you know, radio programs, things like that, and videos. You've written a couple of books. You have also been on, you know, you speak at companies, you coach. Can you give us an overview of, you know, the kinds of presentations that you make, kind of audiences that you are looking to get in front of?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So as you said, I certainly do a lot of speaking, whether it's to a conference, an organization, an expo, a trade show, an all-hands-on meeting. Companies bring me in to do customized workshops in their organization, not just for frontline employees, Brian, but for all of the employees, because thinking like an owner is part of the culture of the organization. And if we only have a couple of employees that are thinking and acting like an owner of the business, is that really going to make a difference to the external customer experience? So I'll share with you just quickly. I just got an email from a client that I did a workshop series for a couple of weeks ago, and she said, "Randy's training was a breath of fresh air for our company. She opened up doors to new levels of communication with our clients and with each other. She has brought a sense of commitment to the team. Now it is up to us to make it work. Without co-commitment, the challenge is much higher." And so what I really do, Brian, is I help to change mindset. Because, listen, anybody can train, but it's not just training what I do. It's getting people to think and then act differently about their role and to really take on the persona of an owner of the business, which is to the benefit of everyone, including the customer, the company, and the employee that is acting like the owner.
It's and the coaching, the speaking, also so the coaching. You know, it's interesting that you bring up, you know, the back office. It's not necessarily people on the front line. It is the people in the back, because those are the people that help the ones in the front that are dealing with the customers, and it filters through. All this stuff filters through. Just like having a ramped employee someplace affects everybody, the whole organization needs to be on the same page, and that's important. And Randy, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. You're terrific. Love the idea, and I hope that you change customer service around the entire world, but it is always nice to be treated nicely and with respect.
That is my mission, Brian, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk to you about it.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Oh, and the website that people could go to, and people, you should be going to a website, and that is?
That is. Well, the company name is Workforce Development Group, and the website is workdevgroup.com. So it's workdevgroup.com, or you can also reach me on 631-598-5598, and I look forward to being of service.
Excellent. Thank you again, Randy. You're absolutely terrific. Thank you for joining us today on Strategies of Success. I like to end these programs with actionable ideas. What can you do based upon what we have heard? And I certainly want you to go and listen to everything, because there's a number of things in there that you're doing. But the first thing, if you're interviewing for a position, or if you're interviewing somebody for a position, it's the attitude. It's not necessarily what they know. It's how they deal with situations. And Randy brought up a great scenario over there. Call somebody, you know, off hours. You know, when it's a little bit different. See how they answer the phone at home. You learn a lot that way. Also, as an owner, as an employee, as anybody, you've got to take a look at yourself in the mirror. Understand who you are, what you need to improve upon, what you need to change. And maybe if you really want to look at things from an overall perspective, you really want to be honest with yourself and start thinking like an owner. Because as an owner, you're going to achieve so many more things as part of your goals because you have a vested interest in it. You have a passion behind it. You have the right attitude. It will be seen. It might not be seen today, but a scenario will come up. Some situation will arise where other people will see that you are thinking like an owner, and that is a great strategy for your success. Hey, my name is Brian Cohen. I host this program. I love doing it, love meeting everybody, and I look forward to seeing you again next week on Strategies of Success.